Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about fish and plants. We're branching out into a new area called aquaponics. It's a merger of aquatic life with hydroponics, which is the feeding of plants with water directly rather than planting them in the soil. And I think that it makes a lot of sense to talk about this because not only is it a fun-filled and very interesting way of growing plants, which is, you know, space-age technology, the hydroponic side of it, but it's also something that's very educational for your children, and it brings in aspects of preparedness because you're able to grow yields that are larger, you're able to grow year-round, and you're able to have fish as part of what you're growing. So now instead of just having vegetables, you also have protein and meat. What do you think, Amy?
I'm excited about this topic today. This is something I've always wanted to branch into, and it sounds exciting. The concept is really interesting to me. And for those of you who are listening to us for the first time, we are an emergency preparedness talk show, so you're going to be with us for this hour. We are sponsored by TruPrep, and we're called Ready Radio, and basically ready means sort of like emergency preparedness type of ready. And so the whole aquaponics thing that we're going to be talking about today kind of branches into more of the homesteading aspect, I guess you could say. And so we've got some really cool things to talk about today.
I think that in general, it would be seen as kind of a homesteading idea. But when, you know, when there's a sustained lengthy disaster, I mean, if we're talking about something not, you know, a tornado or a hurricane, if we're talking about something that's going to last for weeks or months down the road, the ability to not only have vegetables that are growing year-round, I mean, not just waiting for your garden to come into season, but be able to grow year-round and to have protein, the fish. I mean, the go-to fish with aquaponics is tilapia. Mm-hmm. And the reason is tilapia grows really, really fast, and they breed really, really well in a confined space.
So yeah, you can they're kind of like the bunnies of the water, I guess.
They are water bunnies.
There we go.
You know, way better than sea monkeys. We have water bunnies, and they reproduce like rabbits, and so you get more fish. And the idea, what I've heard is that, and our special guest, who I'll talk about in a minute, will tell us more, but what I've heard is that basically with tilapia, per gallon of tank, you get 1 pound of fish per year. So if you have a 60-gallon tank, you'll get 60 pounds of fish for that year. If you had a 100-gallon tank, you'd have 100 pounds of fish for the year. Now, that's not enough to really survive on, but it's a fantastic supplement, and it gives you the ability to have some fresh meat rather than just freeze-dried or just canned or having, you know, other sources. You could have something that you're growing yourself in a very small area. It doesn't take an acre like you would need for a cow or a third of an acre like you'd need for a sheep. You can do this in 100 gallons, which is the size of two large trash cans.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And something I really like about this whole idea is, you know, and so many things in emergency preparedness, you don't have to wait for an emergency in order to reap the benefits of something like this. I mean, if you and your family are, you know, fish eaters, and I've got some good recipes, by the way, I'll have to post them on our website, which is readyradio.net. You know, we do like fish, and tilapia is one of them that I do like to cook with. And so you really can reap the benefits. You don't have to wait for that emergency.
We just started Lent, didn't we? I mean, a lot of people are doing fish on Fridays.
Right.
This is a good idea that you could get fish into your everyday diet.
Mm-hmm.
And fish is very healthy and good for you. I mean, it's a great opportunity. And I had been talking to the guys over at TruPrep for a while about getting into aquaponics. And I thought that this would be a great thing for them to branch out into. And the owners finally listened to my advice.
And they're excited about it.
And they are very excited about it. And they have gone in you know, they've gone in deep on aquaponics. Not only are they going to be getting a full line of aquaponics in very short order, but they've reached out to Animal Planet's TV show Tanked.
I've seen that. What a great show.
It's a fantastic show. What they do is ATM is a company out in Las Vegas, and they build the most exotic fish tanks that I have ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. They do, you know, big fish tanks for like Bass Pro type places, but they also do fish tanks that are in, you know, in coffee houses and in pizza joints, and they try to bring it in so that it fits into the decor, but it's interesting and it's popping. And apparently, True Prep is going to be appearing on an episode of Tanked next season when they will be building a aquaponics tank for True Prep.
No kidding.
That will not only be something spectacular to see, but will be functionally growing the vegetables that True Prep will be using in their classes.
Wow. That is so cool. You know, I need to find out when they are recording that, because I want to, you know, do like a little photo bomb or something.
There you go. Yeah. Sneak into True Prep to be in the Tanked episode. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be a really big deal. They are redesigning their store. They just got a new expansion. They've gone from 3,000 feet to over 10,000 square feet at the Marietta location, making it the largest emergency preparedness store in the Southeast.
Business must be good.
And on top of that, they are now incorporating this tank into their redesign of the Marietta store. So big things are happening over there. We really appreciate their sponsorship of our show and the opportunity to move today into talking about their new product line of aquaponics.
That's awesome. And you know, I bet one of the reasons that True Prep is growing in leaps and bounds is because, you know, emergency preparedness has become so mainstream, and it makes so much sense to so many people. And you know, like we've said before, it really is about being self-sufficient rather than government dependent if anything like that were to happen. And you know, it's not just the crazies anymore. A lot of people are on board.
And as people get more into the lifestyle, and it is a lifestyle, it's not just something that you can go and buy a box or order a product and say, okay, now I'm set.
Although
I've got
that
my
is a
thing.
Good start.
It's always a good start to get started, of course. But it's not something that you can just buy into. It's something that you have to invest in. And when you take the mindset that you're going to be ready for what's coming next, that you're going to be prepared for emergencies, that you're not going to depend on the government or anyone else to supply your needs, once you have that philosophy, then everything else starts to fall in place. And then it's not something that you just do once. You know, you don't just go and buy something and say you're done. You come every week. You come and you look for the new things that you can get. You look for the new ideas. You look for the new places in your house that you can improve on to be more efficient so that you save energy, you save power, and you're less dependent on the government.
Right. And it kind of depends on what people are they feel like they need to prepare for in the first place. There are, you know, small things like maybe, you know, a small natural disaster that might have, you know, the roads down for a couple of days. You know, a person like that might just stock up on some canned foods. Or if you have someone who's, you know, worried about a financial collapse or, you know, losing the electrical grid, you know, someone like that really might expand. And, you know, there are many different levels, and it's just so, so important to prioritize.
One of the things that I always tell people when they ask me, well, what should I be preparing for is, well, how about just a job loss? Mm-hmm. Let's say that you lost
That's
your job.
To us. Yeah.
You lost your job, and it would take you about 2 to 3 months to get back on your feet. Shouldn't you have 2 or 3 months worth of food? Shouldn't you have 2 or 3 months worth of savings for your recurring bills so you don't have to worry about losing your house? Shouldn't you have the ability to keep everything normal during that period? Well, that's a good starting place. That's something that you're preparing for that you hope never happens, but you realize it's a possibility, especially in the economy that we're dealing with today. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? That's something that's real, that's tangible, that everyone can identify with, and yet it gets you down the road to being prepared for all sorts of things. If you have 3 months' supply of food and savings, then, you know, if there's a hurricane, if there's a tornado, if there's something that takes, you know, a 3-week disaster, you're set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these things happen all the time. They, I mean, just look at the history books. It's all over, and I guarantee, and you can take this to the bank, something is going to happen again. I promise you.
Absolutely.
If it's not a storm, you know, your electricity will go out again. Or I promise something's going to happen. And I can't look into my crystal ball and find out what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. But things happen all the time.
We had the experience of having our hot water heater going out the day before Thanksgiving and try to get a plumber to come out over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. It was just about impossible. And the sad thing was the way the hot water heater broke, we couldn't turn off anything except for the main. So we were without water in the house for about 5 days. And because we had, you know, water stored up and because we were prepared, it wasn't that big of a deal. It could have been. I mean, it would have been really annoying not to have any water in the house for a week. Mm-hmm. Even though the stores were open and you could go get things, just having it there was peace of mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we're getting ready for our special guest, I would like to let our listeners know about exactly who's coming to talk with us over the next two segments. We have Sylvia Bernstein, who has dedicated herself to connecting people and plants through indoor soilless gardening products. She is especially passionate about bringing the super productive gifts of hydroponics and aquaponics to mainstream families and schools across America. As part of the ongoing journey, she's founded and is president of the Aquaponics Source and is an award-winning author of Aquaponics Gardening, a step-by-step guide to growing fish and vegetables together. She also runs the Aquaponic Gardening Community, North America's largest online community site dedicated to aquaponic gardening, and features writer for Maximum Yield magazine. In her recent past life, Sylvia was the VP of Marketing and Product Development for AeroGrow International, the makers of AeroGarden. She was one of the company's original founders and instrumental in developing the plant growth technology. Sylvia has a degree in agricultural economics from the University of California, Davis, and an MBA from the University of Chicago. She currently lives in Boulder, Colorado with her husband, Alan. She's coming to join with us to talk about aquaponics and give us some insight on not only what to do, how to get started, but some of the pitfalls people fall into. So we're very excited that she'll be joining us.
All right. This sounds like a great guest. I'm very excited to talk to her because I actually have her book, so I'm very excited. Folks, we'll be right back. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy, and we're here in studio with our special guest, Sylvia Bernstein, who's here to talk about aquaponics and hydroponics and how you can bring your fish and your plants together to make a better symbiotic relationship so that you can grow them in your home. Sylvia, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so excited to be talking to you guys.
So tell me the basics. What is aquaponics, and how does a person look to get started in doing this in their own home?
Aquaponics is really an incredible ecosystem that you construct between an aquaculture system and hydroponics. So you've got a fish that are growing in captivity somehow, whether that be an aquarium or a fish tank or, you know, even really large 500,000 gallon tanks. And that is connected to a hydroponic growing bed, meaning plants are growing in a soilless substrate of some sort. There's no soil involved. And what happens is the ammonia-based fish waste from the aquarium or aquaculture system is pumped into the plant growing bed, where there's a naturally occurring beneficial bacteria that converts the ammonia-based fish waste, which is toxic to the fish and not incredibly useful to the plants, into a nitrate-based fertilizer. The plants now take that up, and the water gets returned clean back to the fish. So this is a way where the fish are actually feeding the plants, and the plants are filtering the water that goes back to the fish. So it's kind of the ultimate in sustainable design, in my opinion. Anytime you take a waste product from one system and actually create a beneficial input into another, then you've got a really nice, sustainable way of doing both.
So, as I understand it, there's three principal actors in this relationship. You've got the fish, you've got the plants, but there's also a bacterial component that's working all the time to be the catalyst between them.
Correct. That's absolutely true. And you could even add in a fourth actor in all of this, when you are growing in, there's a few types of aquaponics out there, one of which, and the one that I'm the most fond of, is called media-based, where you're essentially growing in gravel. And when you're doing media-based aquaponics, you can also add in composting redworms. Now, the redworms go through and they actually clean up the solid waste, and they take care of any material that the plants might have sort of sloughed off under the soil line there. Plants, just like with us, with our skin that's constantly sort of sloughing off, plant roots do the same things. And so the worms kind of go through and keep everything cleaned up.
Okay, now this may sound like a silly question, but I'm still learning myself. When I'm used to seeing worms with water, they're trying to get away from it, crawling up through the dirt and heading for the hills. How are the worms working with the water that's being pumped up from the fish to the plants?
Oh, not a silly question at all. That's a question, actually, that most people have. These red worms breathe through their skin. So what you see when you see the worms sort of committing suicide on the sidewalk after a heavy rain, what you're seeing is them trying to find oxygen. So when the rain falls real heavy and soaks into the ground, it actually forces the oxygen out of the ground, and the worms come up in search of air. In an aquaponic system, however, we've got so much oxygen that's infused into that water, mainly for the fish, right? The fish need a lot of oxygen in their water. Our plants do as well, as does the bacteria. It's an aerobic bacteria. So there's a lot of water a lot of oxygen that's in that water. And so the worms actually get plenty to breathe. They're very happy in the environment. I've actually seen them come out into the sump tank, which is a part of the configuration of a larger system, and live in the water perfectly happily. And it's because of that ability to breathe through their skin. I haven't seen them live the same way in the fish tank because they tend to get eaten pretty quickly when they go into the fish tank.
Sylvia, are they creating any sort of a compost? I know that some people will actually like raise worms for their compost material. Is that a benefit or what?
Bet. Absolutely. That's absolutely what's going on. And so it's something called vermicompost. Mm-hmm. And that's what the worms are converting the solid waste and the other debris in the grow bed into is vermicompost.
Right. So now you've talked a little bit about the fish tank and the grow beds. How are these configured? I mean, is it something that I can just like set on a table and have the tank on the table and a couple of grow beds on a large table and then everybody's happy? Or is there an element that it has to be vertical? Does it have to have a certain layout? What sort of space requirements am I looking at to have a aquaponic setup in my home?
Well, there's a few ways of looking at that. The first is that aquaponics is, at its most basic level, a growing technique. And it can be done with it on as small of a scale as a gallon fish tank and a little planter, and you can just send the water back and forth. So as far as footprint, really, that's going to come down to what the goals of your system really are. If you are interested in growing edible fish for food, which I would say most people that get into aquaponics these days are, they want to grow their own tilapia or catfish, bluegill. If that's the case, then a 100-gallon tank is probably the minimum that you want to look at for a system that's going to grow edible fish. So that becomes sort of the footprint of your system. Then you need to start thinking about your grow bed in terms of some ratios between the fish tank and the grow bed, and there's a few things that you need to go into with all of that. I actually explain all of this in a book that I wrote called Aquaponic Gardening. But once you've got all of that, those ratios and stocking densities established, then you can scale it up as far as you want.
That's exciting. Sylvia, I actually have your book, and is something of I haven't ventured into the actual act of creating you know, an aquaponic system. It is something I so want to do, but I have like this list that's a mile long of all these things I really want to do, and I'm so excited. I, you know, just talking to you today, it's just really sparking this excitement, and I'm ready to go out and do it. You know, yeah, I'm sure I'll probably start on, you know, a bit of a smaller scale. But Sylvia, why would someone consider actually getting into aquaponics versus, you know, just having a garden out in their yard and maybe just a, you know, a small fish tank? Is it primarily because people want the edible fish? Would that be the main reason?
You know, there's a lot of reasons that people come into aquaponics. I would say if I were really pushed to come up with one reason, that's got to be it. It's the intrigue and the benefit, frankly, of growing your own fish. Not only is that you know, an important food source for us, the American Heart Association keeps telling us that we should be eating at least 2 servings of fish a week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's becoming more and more iffy out there. You know, it's, you stand in front of the fish counter at the grocery store and go, well, geez, these fish mm-hmm. are overfished, and these fish might have mercury or PCBs.
Yes.
And this fish over here came out of a lake that's got pesticides running through it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, what do you do? And you don't know what the fish has eaten.
No, you're exactly right.
You don't know how long ago it was harvested, right?
Yeah.
How fresh is that fish? I don't know.
Right.
So if you grow your own, then you've got control over your food source, an important protein source. And really, what other form of gardening are you growing both vegetables and your protein source, a complete meal, all in one? So that absolutely is a reason why people want to do this. Plus, it's really super compatible with happening indoors.
Yeah, that's excellent. That was a
that are doing this in basements and mm-hmm. garages, or they're building greenhouses in the backyard. You know, I don't know what the statistics are, but all I can say is that there's a lot of people out there building greenhouses, and in order to get control of their food source, and it's not easy to move, you know, a load of dirt into your basement, but it's really easy if you're doing a soilless type of growing.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah.
Probably another reason why people really like this is because it, despite the name, which has aqua in it, it uses very little water compared to traditional soil-based gardening.
Oh,
so again,
I wouldn't think that.
Yeah, it's both sustainable, but it's also really practical, especially for people that live in environments, Texas, Arizona, where they're just, water is really a very critical resource. It really
yeah,
is for all of us.
That would make sense. Sylvia, let me tell you, I'm going to ask you to hang tight for just a second. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Hang tight, because we have so many questions to ask you. You are just, you are full of information. I am loving this. So hang tight, everybody. You're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, and we'll be right back.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Folks, we're here in studio with Sylvia. She's talking about aquaponics and what you can do to get into this. What comes to my mind, we're listening to this fantastic description of a wonderful tank with grow beds that has not only beneficial bacteria but also worms to bring everything together. You're going to have increased yields. You're going to have larger, healthier plants. But it seems like there's nothing that can go wrong. Sylvia, what are some things that people get into real trouble with when they try to get into aquaponics?
Well, a few things come immediately to mind. One is, make sure that you get some sort of training or a resource or something that you trust that you can follow. If you just go to the internet and just start Googling, and there's a lot of information out there, a lot of it's conflicting, and you can get into some real trouble by just sort of picking off whatever's floating around on the internet. So I highly recommend that you sort of pick out somebody that you trust their advice and follow it from start to finish. The next thing that I see is people not really paying attention to some of these tried and true ratios and rules of thumb that are out there. One in particular is around stocking density. When fish are really little, it feels like it's okay to put a lot of them in a tank, more than is recommended, but fish grow. People get into trouble sometimes with overstocking their tanks. So I would definitely put a cautionary note out there that it's better to understock than overstock your tank. Another thing to pay attention to is that these systems do require electricity. Mm. You need to be circulating the water between the fish tank and the grow bed, and you need to be providing enough oxygen for the fish. So, because they are electrical, frankly, you can do it off-grid. You can do it using a solar panel that's charging a battery and run the whole thing off the battery. You know, there's lots of ways that you can configure it, and frankly, because we are not an oil-based agricultural industry, you know, we don't need tractors and all that. We need electricity, which can be generated from off-grid resources, but you do need that electricity. So making sure you've got a reliable source of electricity and making sure that it's backed up.
Okay.
Because no matter what, even if you're on the grid, sometimes the grid goes down.
That's true. Are there no other options? I mean, as far as that goes, and you did mention like maybe having a solar power, which definitely makes sense. I know a lot of people who are very interested in the solar. So there's just no other options, like a little hand pump or something attached to a bicycle, or I have no idea. I'm just throwing that out there. I can put my kids on a bicycle and say, pedal away.
Yes, and I actually heard of a system, I think in Haiti, where they took turns throughout the village of actually moving the water back to the top. The trick, though, is that you've got to move the water from the fish tank up to the grow bed on a regular enough basis that you are providing that filtration for the fish tank. So in our sort of world of rules of thumb, generally about once an hour you need to turn over the entire fish tank through the grow beds in order to clean that water. Now if you want to do that using buckets or a hand pump, that's totally fine.
Oh my goodness, I imagine that would take some doing.
So you know, a lot of people that are interested in getting off the grid are really looking at resources like wind and solar, and then those are charging a battery that is actually providing the power when you don't have the reliable solar and wind.
That's a surprising statistic. I didn't realize that you had to turn over the entire fish tank's volume every hour. That's a lot of water to move, especially when we're talking about 100 gallons.
Yeah, depending on the size of your fish tank, you bet. But if you think about it, if a very simple system, say it's about a 100-gallon fish tank, kind of the minimum for growing edible fish, and if you turn your pump on once an hour for about 15 minutes, and you've got a 400-gallon-per-hour pump, which really only takes a few amps to move that water, then that's all you need. So 15 minutes once an hour, send all that water through, and you're perfectly fine.
You were talking about edible fish, and I think that that's a really important facet of this. I've always heard in every single web thing I've looked at, all the pages, all of the blogs, everyone talks tilapia, tilapia, tilapia. And I understand that tilapia are kind of like the water bunnies of the fish world.
Yes, as we established earlier, yes.
But are there other fish that are suitable for this?
Oh, you bet. So anything that's a freshwater fish that's going to work well in tank culture is fine. So, in fact, in our showroom here, we've got some catfish in there with our tilapia. Mm. Bluegill, you know, it really is kind of regional. People in the southeast tend to really look at catfish moving up the coast. They pay more attention to bluegill. You get into the Midwest, and it's all about perch. here in Colorado, the first thing people will ask me is about trout. So it just kind of depends on what the particular fish is in your region. Now, I will say that trout is a little more advanced of a fish. If you think about the environment that this fish comes from, it likes to be in cold water in a running stream that's very pure and has lots of oxygen, which is a little hard to replicate in a tank.
Right.
So paying attention to the environment that the fish actually evolved from is going to help you to save you a lot of heartache when it comes to actually picking out your fish.
So
but
what?
No, lots and lots. Bass is a new one, that a hybrid striped bass that people are working with. Lots of options out there.
So we understand about the fish. What about what kind of plants can you grow on the top? I mean, is the sky the limit for what I can grow in my grow beds?
Pretty much. There are really only two restrictions. One is that we keep these systems at about a neutral pH, and that's a compromise between the plants that like a little more acidic environment and the fish that want it to be a little more basic. At a neutral, you know, they're both okay. So what won't work are plants that want the pH to be very far off neutral. So I'm thinking specifically of like blueberries that like super acidic soil. That's not going to happen very easily in an aquaponic system. The other thing is anything that's sort of deeply subterranean. And by that I mean your onions and your beets, things that, not so much beets, sorry, onions and potatoes. Beets, actually, we've grown very successfully in media base because they're what I refer to as a more shallow subterranean. Beets and radishes do great. They kind of push themselves up and out of the media and just grow like gangbusters. But things that want to be kind of deep down in a loamy soil, those aren't going to do quite as well because they're kind of growing in gravel and they're not too happy about that. Other than that, oh man, we grow a wide variety of herbs, lettuce, salad greens. We've got a dwarf Meyer lemon tree out in our showroom, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, eggplant, the whole enchilada you can grow right in that system.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your book that Amy purchased and is working through?
That's right.
And maybe mention some things about your company. You mentioned your showroom. Where are you guys located and what all do you do?
We are located in Longmont, Colorado, which is just about 15 minutes northeast of Boulder in that area of Colorado. And we've got a 7,600 square foot facility out here where we not only have a showroom, but we have a retail center, we have a big warehouse and a lab where we are constantly experimenting with new things in aquaponics. So we do tours out here every Saturday at 1 o'clock for free. So anyone that wants to come sort of learn more about aquaponics, we'd be happy to have you. My book is called Aquaponic Gardening, a step-by-step guide to growing fish and vegetables together. And I really appreciate Amy buying it.
Mm-hmm.
it's meant to be really an introduction to aquaponics. It takes you through what you need to know from setup and site selection through what I call the hardware, which is actually building the system, through the software, which is the fish, the plants, the bacteria, and then integrating those two together.
Well, it from what Amy's told me before, it sounds like a fantastic book. And I know that our sponsors over at True Prep are looking to carry not only your book, but a full line of products from your company. And we're very excited that you were able to join us today, and you've given us a wealth of useful information that our listeners, I'm sure, are just soaking up. So thank you for joining us, Sylvia. We really appreciate it. All right, folks, we're about to take another commercial break. We will come back for our final segment after, and you are listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Okay, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. Our guest Sylvia was full of information, and I really feel like Gosh, I'm just super excited after talking to her about, you know, picking up her book and starting where I left off and actually put this into play.
Well, you know, it's great because it's not just the information she gave us, but it really got me excited about the prospect of being able to do this myself. You know, I want to have a nice fish tank. I want to have an aquaponic setup so that I can grow some, you know, vegetables indoors year-round and have some fish as well. I mean, it may not be as extravagant as True Prep's tanked fish tank that they're going to have next year, but you know, something that we can get involved in, and the kids can be involved in taking care of the fish and feeding the fish and then having the produce from it. It's a very exciting prospect.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's something that she mentioned earlier. She said you can do this really on any size scale, even, you know, something as small as a 1 gallon. You know, you could maybe put like a little betta fish or something in there and have like a little, you know, one little flower that's growing out of the top. I mean, how stinking cute would that be for the kids?
A betta fish and a daisy.
I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, what a great start.
Well, I think that you'd also have to, I mean, if you think about it, it's going to be more than putting a daisy in the top of the fish tank, because like she said, you're going to have the bacteria. And that was something that really caught my attention, is that this is more than just taking a bed of flowers and then sticking it on top of a fish tank. You're going to have some know-how to get the right balance. And she was talking about ratios, which she spells out in her book, but there's more to it than that. There's also getting the right amount of bacteria in there, and although they're self-propagating, you got to get it started. You've got to have the worms. You got to have the right media. There's so many different things, and the beauty of this is that now True Prep is starting down the path, and I know that they don't have their display set up today, but they're starting the process of bringing all this in, and over the next month or two, they're going to have a gigantic aquaponics display that's going to have not just things like fertilizer and the bacteria, but they're also going to have whole system kits where you can buy a kit that has a tank for the fish and a grow bed and the media and the siphons and the pumps and everything you need to get started in one kit, so you can just buy it, walk out the door, and get started that day. And not only are they going to have the pieces to make the kit of the tank and the grow bed, but they're going to have all the ancillary things that you need, things like fertilizers for the plants and the fish food, and even things to take care of the fish, like fish antibiotics.
Yes, I know that's kind of big in the prepper world, and looks like True Prep would indeed be a good place to find fish antibiotics.
Well, you know, the idea behind fish antibiotics is that you've got to take care of those fish somehow, and in an emergency, you know, if your fish catch a cold or have an ear infection, you really want to make sure that you can get your hands on 500 milligrams of amoxicillin, or Cipro, or Sulfa, or even some of the more modern drugs like azithromycin, which is commonly marketed as Z-Pak when it's made for human consumption. Of course, these are for fish
only.
They
are for fish, right.
And not for human consumption. But if your fish got sick...
Right, with snotty nose or...
Yeah, you could pick up your fish antibiotics at True Prep and just absolutely set to take care of those fish in the apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, I know that, and like you said earlier too, that True Prep doesn't have this yet, but it is something that is on the cusp, and I know that they're very good about training their staff, you know, so that they will be very well versed and to be able to answer any kind of questions. And the great thing, and something that she really mentioned that really struck a chord with me, was that there's so much information out on the web.
Just in doing prep for this show, I can't tell you how many web pages, how many YouTube videos,
How
many
YouTube,
blogs
yeah.
I've read, sure. And everybody has their theory, and everybody's different.
Yeah, and she mentioned it's so important to go to the tried and true, and I love how, you know, they have labs, and they have, you know, all this stuff is not just, well, I tried this and it worked out pretty well. I mean, there's a lot of research behind the material that she has.
A scientific method to get to what is the best way to do this. And of course, it makes sense that True Prep, who are the leaders in preparedness education, would partner with somebody like Sylvia.
Only the best. Yep, only the best. Absolutely.
To bring to their customers the knowledge base so that when you go home and start to grow, you know, this, you're not going to run into trouble on day one. I was talking to Amanda over at True Prep about chickens, because I'm looking to getting into backyard chickens. And this girl, I mean, you would think, okay, you got some sales clerk in the middle of a small store who, you know, is there making her, you know, $8 an hour or whatever, what is she going to really know other than, hey, buy this product or buy that product? But my goodness, Amy, she just came out of nowhere. She has a candling permit or something like that, so she can sell eggs. And she was telling about the diseases and what type of coop you need, things that True Prep doesn't even touch on. But she knew all of it just because I brought up in conversation that I was looking into chickens. And all of their staff is just like that. They all have their areas of expertise. Or when you go in their store, suddenly it's a wealth of information coming at you on a variety of topics. And I enjoy going over to the Marietta store. I was talking to Mark the other day, who's their canning person. And
he was on our show. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He was one of our guests. I was blown away by his knowledge. Sure, he's a little curmudgeonly at times, and you know, he's got that old man kind of I know what I'm talking about sunny aspect to him, but what a wealth of information when you start talking to all of these salespeople that True Prep has brought together under one roof.
Yeah, and I know that aquaponics is not something you want to... it's not something you can just jump into and say, I'm going to do this and have a system set up in a couple hours. I mean, you really do. You have to learn this stuff.
Yeah, a 5-gallon tote with a couple of goldfish in it ain't going to pull this off.
Does not aquaponics make.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, if we're going to get into this, we're going to have someone to talk to. And it would be great to be able to pick up the phone and call Sylvia and say, hey, I got 150 questions.
Let's put her phone number on our website, readyradio.net. We will post her personal cell phone number. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that.
We won't post her personal cell phone number, but we will post a link to her company website.
Yes, she has a plethora of information on her site.
And you know, they do have a retail store as well. So, I mean, there's a variety of ways that you can get to these products as you need them. But the advantage is that here in North Georgia with three locations, True Prep is bringing aquaponics from Colorado here for everybody, and not just here, but also through their website to the entire country. There's a live chat feature on their website, so when you have questions about your aquaponics, you can ask at True Prep and you'll get an answer.
Doug, I have a feeling that you and I need to do this, and not only do we need to do this, I think I'm feeling a little competition in the air.
Really?
kind of feeling it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking my garage versus your garage. Or my basement. No, basement. Do you have a basement?
I do not have a basement,
darn.
But it is on like Donkey Kong. Trust me.
I love it.
I am down with getting the best aquaponics fish tank and growing the absolute biggest tomatoes.
Oh, we need to figure out what it is that we're going to...
Better yet, folks, go to our website or check us out on Facebook. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, readyradio.net. Just take a minute to find us through our website on either of those venues. Post a comment on Facebook or on Twitter telling us what you would like to see us grow. Mm. And we will make it into a full web documentary to show off Amy's progress and Doug's progress in creating the ultimate aquaponics setup.
I love it. And let's keep it. Let's leave it to legal plants. What do you think?
I like legal plants.
Legal plants would probably be the best idea.
In Georgia at this time.
Yes. 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 Although we do have to keep watching, and see what happens with legislation and what's going on. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yep. You never know what's going to be legal tomorrow in Georgia.
Know.
That's for sure.
Know.
But yeah, let's see. You know, you guys want some tomatoes? Do you want cucumbers? You want to see
peppers,
us grow?
Maybe some jalapenos or salsa. We could do a salsa garden with tomatoes, cilantro. Some jalapenos, some onions. Can we do onions? I don't know if we... I don't think she said we could do onions.
She said you could do beets, so I think you could pull off onions.
No, I think she said no onions.
No onions?
Because it's a root. I think she was talking about, like, the root veg. We need a book. Everybody listening, get her book. We all need the book, and we need to double check what we can. I know that it is a root vegetable, so I'm not quite sure.
I'm thinking
how well
maybe spinach, so that we can take and make some spinach with our tilapia fish.
Oh, that's a good point. Something that would go well with tilapia.
Florentine.
Oh, nice. I'm kind of liking that.
Maybe we should each have our own recipe garden and come up with something that we can use the vegetables to cook with the fish.
Okay, well, it really doesn't matter because I'm going to kick your butt anyways, no matter what it is.
Well, the smack has been laid down, Atlanta. You're listening to Ready Radio right now where Amy is getting rather cocky.
Mm-hmm.
And we will find out who is the better fish gardener.
Yes.
With the fish bunnies in our aquaponics setup in the coming weeks. But please do check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Give us your comments and suggestions, not only about our crazy hydroponics
challenge, but also about the show or what you would like to hear coming up. Aquaponics was one of the issues that was raised in a couple of emails, so we tackled it maybe a wee bit early for our dear sponsors at True Prep, but it's since they announced to me at least that they're going to be on Tanked in the coming season and that they are getting a gigantic, gorgeous fish tank designed by ATM that will be an aquaponics fish tank, I figured it might as well just get this thing kickstarted and bring in our special guest and cover aquaponics at this time. So that was this week's show. We're looking forward to hearing from you for next week's show. Looking ahead, we've got some great topics coming up. One of the things that we're going to cover is we're going to be partying like it's 1899. How do you live in last century if you didn't have electricity and ways to cope with it? Some other good topics that have been suggested through our email, which is questions@readyradio.net, are things that would be a best of show and a show dealing with questions from the email. So that may be something we collate all the smaller questions that we've been answering individually into one larger show to go through, and it would be more like a potpourri show.
I like it. Okay. Well, that sounds good. And Doug, it was good seeing you again this week, and we will see you next week. And we look forward to that.
We appreciate all of our listeners. We appreciate the time that you've invested with us. We hope that it's been profitable for you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy today on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by True Prep. For all your prepping needs, visit True Prep online at truprep.com or visit a True Prep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday evenings at 5, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.